This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports. Welcome to Talk of Asian Marketing, and today we're going to do a little bit of international comparison. We have a couple guests with us, and the first person is Professor Jane Liu, who is just fresh back from Kansas in the United States on a Fulbright scholarship. So Jane, congratulations on that.
Thank you, everybody. Hi, this is Jane Liu from Kansas State University. I just had a wonderful experience doing research down there.
Yeah, you were over there on that Fulbright scholarship, so that was a really kudos to you. Great accomplishment.
Well, thank you. It was amazing.
Lots of fun. And we also have Anastasia Warden, who's actually my daughter, and she's on the show today because she's living in Texas, going to school there. And we're going to be talking about retailing specifically in the U.S. So, Anastasia, hello.
Hello.
Okay. That's You're invited to speak more if you want. Feel free to speak up. So, anyway, okay. What we're going to do is similar to a previous show we had, which was with me and James. We were talking about the U.K., trying to look at some new developments in the retail formats and compare and contrast with the Taiwan, Singapore, and China. So let's just go ahead and jump into this, and there's a lot of things to compare, but I think there's one thing in the U.S. that if you're going to talk about retail, marketing, sales, almost anything when it comes to spending money, there's one company that is the elephant in the room that you cannot avoid. Jane, you know that company, right?
Yes, Walmart.
In fact, when we were over there, my wife and I and my kids were over in the summer in Texas. And, of course, the Midwest is Walmart's, you know, where it really came from. And I said, we should not be renting a hotel. We should be just staying in Walmart. We're in there twice, three times a day sometimes. And it's definitely more time there than in our hotel room. Anastasia, right?
Yes, it is open 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day. So we've got a lot of photos from Walmart, so we can run through some of those real fast. But some of the major points I've noticed in my most recent return, and Jane, maybe you can jump in here and see what you've noticed change, was that 24-hour, 7-a-day week thing. They did not used to be open 24-hour, 7-a-days a week. When I was a college student and Walmart was in its initial growth stage, it was 6 days a week in some places. You know, some places have the law you can't open on Sunday. 7 maximum, usually closing around 10 at night. But now it seems everywhere is 24/7.
Walmart supercenters.
So that's only the supercenters.
Yes, but usually most Walmarts became a supercenter.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other big development that's happened in the last few years, which is Walmart taking over the supermarket segment. Jane, were you doing a lot of food shopping in the supercenters?
Yes, I do. It's cheaper, more choices, a lot of varieties, and then they brought into all this kind of special promotion each week. It's very convenient to do this one place shopping at Walmart.
And that includes, of course, the Supercenter puts together. What do they put together, Anastasia? They've got food.
All kinds of food, grocery, that's a big one. And then they have car centers where you can get in, replace your tires.
Yeah, you can see that in picture number 4. We actually have the Tire and Lube Express. In the 80s, they tried to do car repair. Didn't work out. Too much variability. You need to hire too many mechanics who are experts. But now they get rid of the car repair, but keep the tire and lube. And we got tires for your car, too. A darn
yes.
Good price.
Yeah.
And then they have school supplies.
School supplies. And then, of course, they also have outdoor equipment, yard equipment, tools. Just everything is included in the one place. So if we look at some of the photos we have, everything you're saying makes sense, but one problem we often face in Walmart is, like in picture number 5, is just so huge. Jane, I don't know if you had this problem, but I often found when I was parking, I would find a parking space, and I'd walk in, and I'd find out that I walked in the wrong door. I have to walk all the way across the store to find what I'm looking for.
Well, in Walmart, it has all kinds of sections for different type of products. So if you only need one small item, like in sports equipment, you have to walk in all the way toward the end of the store, find the item, and then check it out, and then bring it back to the car. So it takes a lot of time doing this kind of shopping if you do this regular grocery shopping for each weekend. Sometimes big stores do require you spend a certain amount of time in there.
Yeah, I find it's hard to go to a super center and not spend, you know, at least an hour just trying to get your stuff together. Anastasia, you don't live far from a super center. You're just a couple blocks away. When you usually go in there, do you spend a lot of time?
I do. It usually takes at least an hour, I think, just because the time getting there and then walking around, waiting in line.
You know, if we compare this to Carrefour's, which are the dominant hypermarket in Taiwan, Jane, what do you think about, how do you compare that kind of, what would you call this, hassle factor? this time factor, you have to spend so much time?
Well, sometimes it's easier if you just go in a supermarket to buy a bottle of milk and then go into a big store like Walmart for the same bottle of milk. So time-wise, it's easier. And then for this price comparison, so only if you do a big volume of shopping, you do save a lot at Walmart. But if you are only looking for one item, it's easier to go just a small, tiny supermarket to buy it. So that's why some supermarkets, like Dillon's, like Kroger's, they still survive in the system.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, we can see Tesco from the UK in the US is trying their new small format stores, and Fresh and Easy, I think they're called. And the idea is just exactly that. Someone can pull up. It's a small parking lot. You get right in, and they have fresh vegetables, but they're all packaged, and you just grab them off the shelf and go. Of course, in Taiwan, in Singapore, we do have a lot of the hypermarkets, but nothing that's this huge. And I think it would cause many difficulties, because one of the difficulties already is, you know, how do you carry this stuff back? You know, you really need a pickup truck when you go shopping at Walmart just to take your stuff home. And in lots of Asian countries, people don't have big cars or vehicles. Or in Singapore, people are taking the MRT, same in Hong Kong. So it makes the convenience factor even more difficult, I think. Even shopping at a Carrefour, Jane, I find sometimes when I take my motorcycle, I'll come outside, and I have more than I can fit on my motorcycle.
Okay, sometimes supermarkets will provide home delivery services. So if you buy big items, you really can't carry them home or don't fit into your car, they can deliver it right to your home the next morning. And with a very minimal charges, so that they can compensate the problem for this kind of transportation issue.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, that's what people often ask me in Singapore when I talk about Walmart or show pictures. They say, do they have delivery service? Because in Singapore, you can actually go shopping, and when you're checking out, you can push your cart aside and you can have it delivered. If you're over a certain minimum amount, everything in your cart gets delivered, or you can just order online, delivered to your home for a small fee. Anastasia, does Walmart have delivery?
I think you can have delivery online if you order online.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to pay for yourself the charges.
Like a delivery fee? And can you buy groceries from a supercenter online?
I'll look for that, but I don't think so. I think it's just like anything but food.
Yeah, so, you know, it just fits in with that American way, I think. It really fits with that local thing. Talking about the hassle factor on pictures 6 and 7, we got the signs. And, Jane, I don't know if you noticed this, or maybe you've been back more often than I have, but Walmart did not used to have these kinds of signs. And one of the biggest problems is finding your way around the store. I found their sign system to be quite useful. They have big icons, big, nice blue lettering, kind of a street layout almost with all these kinds of signs. Did you notice those signs? We have some in pictures 6 and 7. Yeah, you know, I noticed that, and I have one great example. Anastasia, I don't know if you remember this, but Alicia was with me when I did this. We went over there to buy a knife sharpener, Jane, right? A knife sharpener. And the problem is, where would that be? You know, so you have a specific product you want. Now, what category? Now, you'd think it might be in household items. So we went over household items. They got vacuum cleaners, microwaves, popcorn machines, no knife sharpeners. How about hardware? Went over to hardware. Hardware, nope. They got, you know, screwdrivers, hammers, all nuts and bolts, no knife sharpener. And I sat down, I thought, now, how could it possibly be categorized? And then it came to me, hunting area. And of course, most Walmarts do have hunting area. We went over to the hunting area, and there were lots of big hunting knives there, and sure enough, we found knife sharpeners in the hunting area.
Yeah, it's, sometimes it's hard to categorize the item that you want. Yeah.
You know, I always have that problem.
You always have that problem. You see, I think that one big thing I've noticed, Jane, in Carrefour in Taiwan is sometimes I don't like it a lot, but it does help you find things. Carrefour will put the same product in multiple locations. I don't know if you've noticed that. For example, Carrefour has their international aisle. In the international aisle, they have things like Oreo cookies, but Oreo cookies are also in the cookie aisle. I don't think Walmart double shelves anything.
They do. Like, they have these, like, scissors for, like, school supplies, and then at the kitchen and then at the hobby area. But still, that's a very specific item you have to ask a staff for a size. It's very hard to find a staff.
Yeah, right. I found that out too.
Once you need some, and they do not have all these monitors at the corner, like what they stored in Carrefour here, for you to figure out where to find your item.
Yeah, I found that out right away. Yeah, and when you do find someone, they seem to know what's in their immediate area, maybe, but not what's on the other side of the store. So it's really hard to get help. You know, I wanted to bring up one specific example, Jane. I don't know if you've noticed this, but on picture 11, we have a refrigerator. This is in the milk section. And, you know, they just have, must be 10 different refrigerators full of milk. But this product caught my eye a few years ago, and this is this Silk, which is, Anastasia?
Soy.
It's soy milk, right? And so, of course, in Taiwan, it's like doujiang, right? We can go out and buy it in the morning and have it with our breakfast. Very popular. But Jane, I don't know, when you were in school years ago, when I was in school many years ago in the U.S., did you know anyone who drinks soy milk? And could you imagine Americans would like soy milk?
Yeah, back in the 80s, 90s, we could find soy milk at some of these expensive. And then now it's a lot more popular, people, especially those people who cannot tolerate the lactose in the and they can drink for females especially. And then I tried this Silk, really taste like what we have here in Asia, but they are actually, I think, a lot sweeter.
Yeah, a lot sweeter.
A lot smoother. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Americans like sweet stuff. They are drinking soy milk. Feel like you are drinking some kind of a shake.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Rich.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a great example of a product that, you know, normally I think if you put on the cover, if you put right on the box soy milk, I don't think it would be very popular, except for people who are lactose intolerant, like you say. But now this Silk has really broken out of that niche. And you can look at the packaging by imitating milk packaging, by making it look like milk. And their tagline on their advertising is always, Silk is milk. Silk is milk. And you say that for a few years. You put it next to milk. You make it look like milk. And people try it. And like you say, it's not the same as what we get in Asia. It's sweeter. It's different. But there you go. It's really gotten more and more popular. So I'm impressed to see that. But then that's the great thing about being Walmart, isn't it? If anything in your store gets popular, what can you do? You can create the store brand. So right next to it on the same shelf is Great Value, which is Walmart's store brand. And they just imitate the package shape. They imitate the package a little bit, keep it very minimal, and there you go. And I don't know if you noticed, Jane, but it seems lots of stuff they do this. Lots of stuff they have their store brand, and it's significantly cheaper. Okay, so the store brand experience. Anastasia, do you have experience with the store brand, Great Value?
Uh-huh. Everything, if I can find Great Value, I would get it just because especially the quality is not that different for food. Or I get Jell-O and cereal, soy milk. It's probably half the price for cereal. For soy milk, it's not that big a difference. But then just because you trust Great Value, there's so much of its item that you like that you would go for it.
So it's really good. I mean, better than the... Could it ever be better than the original that it's comparing to?
It just depends. For cereal, the Cheerios, I think the Great Value, the Honey Nut Spins, they taste better. And for Jell-O, it's half the calories than the brand name ones.
Yeah, now here's the interesting thing, Jane. That's what I really noticed about Great Value, is that usually when we're thinking about some store brands, we have some store brands in Asia and Taiwan. Usually Carrefour has some store brand. But it's kind of the basic thing. But at Walmart, what I noticed is even brand extension, right? So you have cereal like Cheerios and then Honey Nut Cheerios. And these brand extension, they even make Great Value for those brand extension, very specifics. It was really interesting, all the way down to this very detailed. They really extend the brand and then extend Great Value's brand at the same time. I've never seen that in Asia.
No, it's not that common in Asia. They do not provide that many varieties for the store brand. But for the Great Value, they do try to establish like a brand identity out of it. But actually I'm not sure about the quality. Sometimes if you compare the Kellogg cornflakes and then the Great Value is not as crispy as the Kellogg's stuff. But actually for that many varieties, this Great Value brand really stand out. Especially in Walmart, people do go with Great Value. You can tell from the shopping carts that everybody's got Great Value in there for a certain amount of items.
Interesting. So they're really going to push on that. It'd be interesting to see in the future if retailers can create a store brand that can pick up that way. You know, I know Tesco works hard on their high end, but it never took off in Taiwan. People don't really, why am I going to pay extra for this? Or there's low-end store brand. No one quite understood how that works. So it'd be interesting to see in the future. So that's kind of Walmart. You know, I want to point out one more thing I saw, Jane. I don't know if you noticed this. You know, they have their outside area. Picture 23 is a cookout, barbecue, gas stove for your yard. Of course, it's a very American thing, right? You have to have your 4th of July cookout and barbecue. Look at the price on that thing. This is a propane gas stove, and it's like $200 US, and that's what really impressed me. After all these years, you know, I used to shop at Walmart when I was in college almost 30 years ago. Lots of prices are almost the same at Walmart as it was 30 years ago. The deflationary pressure of Walmart must just be incredible.
You mean price-wise? Yeah, the prices are very reasonable and very competitive in the retail systems. Sometimes that if you go into a place like Best Buy, you do find the similar or identical items at Best Buy and at Walmart. And then the prices at Walmart is comparatively just lower than everywhere in the system.
Yeah, so I think that's something I've noticed in general, too. It must be just Walmart has been so huge in creating this value chain, and then other companies tap into that also. But sometimes it's shocking. You know, I cannot imagine in Taiwan shopping around and getting a gas grill. Of course, nobody would get one because you don't use such a thing. But can you imagine, like, picture 23, a gas grill? And that would be, like, how much? 6,000 NT dollars? Jane, can you imagine buying something like that for Taiwan, in Taiwan, for 6,000 NT dollars?
No, the price would be doubled.
Yeah, exactly. And then when I was in Walmart, I noticed a couple interesting display things. Jane, what's your take on this? Picture 24. Walmart's usually straightforward, basic, not a whole lot of special things. But then sometimes they have some interesting stuff. Look at this pillow dispenser. You buy a pillow by pulling it out of the bottom, and the holder goes all the way up to the ceiling full of pillows. So they do some fun and interesting things sometimes. But mostly the stores are kind of just straightforward, basic. The promotion material is usually the point of purchase that has been wrapped up in from the manufacturer, from the brand. They just dump it on the floor. Usually not too much special promotion, but sometimes some interesting things.
Yeah, it's especially for this a visual effect that you can hardly ignore if they pile up something up to the ceiling, that make sure that you notice it.
Yeah, so once in a while, but not too much. I think in a lot of Asian contexts, people go into department stores and places like that and get a lot more visual. You know, you look at Japanese supermarkets. You and I did a show before about supermarkets, a lot more emphasis on that design. But Walmart tends to keep things basic. Okay, on the checkout side, Jane, were you doing a lot of self-checkout?
Yeah, I did.
What's your impression?
Easy to help yourself and to check out items, and then you kind of make sure that you get every item scanned through the machine, and it's a fun way to do it. And you have choice of paying it by credit card or using cash, and kind of just an easier way for you to do the checkout and not to line up in the lines and then waiting for the counters and the cashiers to do it for you.
Yeah, why any impression why this hasn't taken off in Taiwan? I haven't seen it anywhere in Taiwan, Hong Kong, Singapore, even. I haven't seen it any place. Is there any reason why you think that might be?
I'm not sure. Maybe just the easier to hire people doing this catering thing, or that the people would easier to get away from the machine, taking items out without paying for it.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You know, I think that I was teaching this weekend in Singapore, and we had some people who were actually working at Cold Storage, which is a big supermarket chain, and I asked them about the self-checkout. I showed some pictures from Walmart. And they told me specifically, they said the problem with self-checkout for them is that it can speed things up a little bit. That's true. And you do save on employee cost. But then again, in Singapore, employee costs, because there's no minimum wage, is not necessarily that bad as in the U.S. On the other hand, they said that the problem they find is leakage, just like what you're talking about. You actually get people checking out with more, taking things, and they said that they're afraid of that loss.
Yeah, you can really cheat on that machine if you kind of lift the item a little bit for those things that you need to wait on them for the prices, for the cost.
You notice that too. Yeah. I'm not the only one who noticed that, right?
Yeah, I think there is the monitor that the manager could check on you, but for that amount of people lining up using this self-checkout system, that you really cannot try to monitor each customer.
Yeah, usually there's six different self-checkouts and one guy there monitoring it. He cannot possibly keep up.
Yeah, but we tried to have kids doing that, and sometimes the manager would watch kids to make sure that they did it right for each item.
That's hilarious. That's funny. Yeah, I have to say that it seems to have that problem, but I guess at Walmart, you know, they save the employee money and they get people moving. The one thing I wanted to point out before we leave Walmart is picture 28, and I found this quite interesting. In this, I don't know if you can see it clearly, it's a triangle, three sides. Each side holds two plastic bags, and then it's on a Lazy Susan that spins around. And this is a genius idea, because one thing I always hate in hypermarkets, and in Taiwan, I think it's in Asia, it's worse than anywhere else, is when you're checking out, you have a very tiny space where your product's getting pushed to, and you have to bag it so quickly, and then the next customer's pushing into you. It used to be, when I was young, supermarkets had a big space at the end. They've cut that all down. Walmart completely eliminates that. They just go right into the bags, and then the teller will turn this Lazy Susan around, and you pull your bags off. Now, Jane, did you see this in Kansas, or is this just something in some stores?
Well, I've been in several different Walmart locations. They all have this kind of the triangle checkout, the bagging area. And then sometimes it's a lot easier. And then the cashier is the kind of item that they don't mix up with these food items, with the household items. It's a lot easier, but still a lot of usage of these plastic bags.
Oh, yeah, well, lots of plastic bags, of course. Well, so that's Walmart. I mean, Walmart is a really unique American phenomenon. They have expanded. Of course, they're in China. They pulled out of Korea totally because of some problems they have there in competition. You know, I think it's a very interesting contrast. Although we have Walmart in China, it's really an American thing, especially its hugeness. But you know what else is an American thing that really, if you go shopping almost anywhere, and that is the strip malls. Jaina, you must have them everywhere in Kansas, too. They're everywhere in the East Coast, the West Coast, and that is just off the side of a big road. You have maybe 10 stores, just black pavement, two places, two sides of the park on in front of the stores and across from the stores. And we have a few pictures of strip malls. Jane, you do spend a lot of time in strip malls?
Yeah, I do. And sometimes it's hard to get off the highway and then get into the strip malls. Sometimes you get confused because if you are new to the area, that you see it on the highway, it's so huge. It's just a lot of different stores like JCPenney, like Dillon's, like Sears, all these kind of stores. But sometimes it's just so huge that you are trying to prepare for a day for a leisure shopping at strip malls.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing you're mentioning would be more like a normal mall. Strip malls usually don't even have an anchor store. So, we stopped at some malls, which, you know, I can never go through American malls without seeming to get lost. They're all so complicated. And then the strip malls are more just kind of fundamental, basic. I did notice a lot of stores were empty. I would say about maybe 10 to 30% in some areas were empty because of the economic downturn. So I think this is all kind of real estate issue. We don't get a lot of these in Asia. In China, in some open areas, you can see shopping centers that are built off on the side of the road, but not exactly the same as this. This is really proliferated in America, just almost everywhere. And the next thing is these category killers, which, you know, if you haven't been to America, I don't think you know what a category killer is. The classic example is Staples, that is all office supplies. Shoe stores, you know, very normal are categories because they just have shoes. But we have a picture here, 37, of a place called Academy, all sports equipment, Bed Bath & Beyond, which is really weird. I'd never heard of it before. Picture 38. Jane, have you ever been to one of these Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't know how spread out they are in the north.
Yeah, I've been to several of these, and they are huge.
And how would it's obviously a category killer. And so the categories are everything to do with your home's bathroom, bedroom, kitchen, right?
Yeah, I think what they do is they provide more choices, more varieties, more high-end items to customers that you cannot find at Walmart.
Good point.
Once you go in there, you are for sure that you can find something that for your need. They do have all different prices, and they do have all these luxury varieties, and then you can find some very cheap ones and then something on promotion. It's very neat.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think a category killer like this, the big advantage over Walmart is, whereas you go to Walmart, they will have maybe one or two things related to a specific need. whereas Bed Bath & Beyond will have a whole bunch. And I also found when I was shopping in there, like pictures 39 and 40, as you shop around, it's a big store, it's divided up into like little areas, and each area has a specific topic, like clocks or hangers or mirrors or frames or beds or blankets. And you shop in each one, and they have some of your cheaper stuff, some of your sale stuff. They have the kind of unique stuff that's interesting. And then sometimes you just have things that you see, and you think, hey, I would like to have that. I mean, I was shopping through there, and I would sometimes see something, and I say, boy, I would like to get that, even though I don't have any place to put it, even though I don't need it. It's just like, wow, it's really neat. So it has that kind of exciting, interesting feeling. Anastasia, you know, before you took me here, I'd never seen these before. And you had said you go shopping here a lot. Why would you go to Bed Bath & Beyond instead of Walmart?
Well, for example, my bedstand, Walmart only has a 5-inch one and nothing else related, where they have more.
More variety,
and their prices are pretty good.
Good prices and more variety. So this leads me to the next one, since we're talking about variety. And Jane, have you seen a Hobby Lobby? I think there's about 300 stores in the U.S. It's a private company. It's not public.
Yeah, I've seen some. And then they are very neat, very nice, organized. And then if you like to do some of these crafts or if you like some of these handmade items, this is for sure the place to go.
Yeah, so another category killer. And in this case, just hobbies. We have a bunch of pictures in there. You know, Halloween was coming up when we were there, so lots of Halloween stuff. About one quarter, I think, of the store is permanently Christmas items, which just goes to show how important Christmas is in the U.S. One thing I liked in this store is picture 51 and 52, where they keep extra inventory up at the top of the shelves. They put them all inside of these baskets, traditional-looking baskets. And the whole store has that kind of feeling to it, this kind of traditional on the farm, or you own a nice big house and you live out in the countryside. It's got this real kind of Americana feel to it. And I'm trying to think of, you know, number one, category killers in Taiwan or Hong Kong or China. I really can't come up with anything like that. B&Q maybe is the closest you could come up with. Something like this, where you would walk in and they have a kind of traditional Taiwan kind of feeling to it, and you have all this stuff for your house. Is there anything like this in Asia, Jane, you can think of?
No, we haven't had this kind of system established yet. It's going to be a niche market if anyone wants to step into it.
Yeah, I think that this whole thing about, you know, your house and getting things for your house, Bed Bath & Beyond is an example, Hobby Lobby is an example. It's very American kind of thing. You buy this stuff, you fill it up with your house. And these killer category stores, you know, sometimes I wonder how they stay in business when the economy's down. But when you walk through, it's very tempting to want to get something and just take it home. And if I had a house in the U.S., I think every time I go, I'd buy something and go home. And Anastasia, how do you stop yourself when you're in these stores from buying something?
Well, I'm not a big hobby person. I just don't find Hobby Lobby very attractive to me personally.
So I really wondered about that. You know, when I was in there, I thought, how can they survive such a huge store, and they've got them all across the country? How do they keep going? And you know what I saw when we were checking out? Anastasia, when you and I were there, there was not many people in the store. It doesn't seem it has a lot of foot traffic. But I saw a woman checking out, Jane, and she had a cart, and it was full of all the same thing. And she must have been a school teacher getting an activity ready. So how much you want to bet a lot of their customers are people doing activities for Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, clubs, and school kids things?
Yeah, I believe so, for gatherings. Reminds me one place that's called IKEA. It's somewhat similar to what we have here in the States. But still, IKEA doesn't seem to have like everything you need for your house.
It's pretty much
specialize in those furnitures and decorating stuff, and then some of these kitchen bathroom stuff.
Yeah, I think in Taiwan, IKEA stores would probably come close to that. You know, in Shanghai, I've got some video for another show of the IKEA store, just packed full of people. But how many people were actually buying? Not so many. They were taking photos of the IKEA bedroom displays, then they would go somewhere else and have somebody build it for them. But they sell lots of small stuff, you know, a little desk to put on your bed, a little coffee light, a coffee lamp, a little candle, those kinds of things, lots of that. So yeah, it's kind of a category killer.
Actually, the last time I went to IKEA, a lot of young adults were there, and then they were shopping for like their apartments. It's affordable, and then the quality is not that as good as the thing that you buy at the furniture stores. But still, yeah. Think of for this young generation, IKEA is going to be one of the distinguished the location, the retailing channel for sure.
Yeah, was that in Shanghai, the one you're talking about?
The one in Taipei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think in Taiwan, it's reaching a point where that would be the case. I think in China, it's still just cheaper to go get someone to do the work for you. But in Taiwan, it's very marginal whether that's a better value or not. Yeah, go ahead, Anastasia.
For Hobby Lobby, I was looking over the pictures, and it really is similar to Taiwan bookstores.
Oh, with all the little knickknacks they have, right?
And all the stuff that you can find in there, you can find Taiwan bookstores, but with a smaller location, like less varieties. But
that's true. That's true.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the other thing. In the U.S., you don't see bookstores like that, do you?
No, Taiwan bookstore is really a hobby store.
That's a good point, yeah. There are lots of little knickknacks and things you can do, construction paper and glues and mm-hmm. sparkly stuff, all that stuff. Yeah, all the kids go there to buy that, so that's a good point. The last thing I wanted to go on was this drug emporium. Jane, maybe you've not heard of this, right? I don't think you've ever seen a drug emporium, have you?
No, I haven't seen one.
They don't have that many stores anymore. They used to have more stores. I think they had some financial trouble because they've got a lot of competition from CVS, and Walgreens, which are the big chains now. Now, of course, we all know that in the U.S., these drugstores have just grown to be more than prescriptions. You can get, you know, of course, vitamins and all these healthcare, but then all this other stuff, including house supplies, food supplies, everything. And we see this in Taiwan, too, with drugstores also expanding, offering more and more stuff. But this drug emporium was interesting because we walked in. I'd never seen one before. I know they had financial difficulty, and there's only a handful of stores left. They're all independently run. But we walked in, and we saw all these things on sale. For example, picture 58 was Folgers Coffee. And Anastasia, you were with us, I think. We loaded up our cart to get Folgers Coffee because Mommy likes the coffee, and she thought it was really a great price. We went to check out, and we ran into a problem, and that is they only took cash, no credit cards. And this may be related to their bankruptcy. Obviously, it helps them save money because that carrying that credit charge is very heavy. We parked it, and I said, hey, we can probably get that at Walmart. Went to Walmart, Jane, and you know what? The price here was significantly lower than even Walmart.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of their storage and then trying to get some cash flow for the system.
Yeah, get some cash flow. So obviously, you know, that's the interesting thing. You can really find a lot of locations that you could actually find prices a little bit or significantly better than Walmart. It's just that value channel that's been created, lots of people can tap into. And another thing that was interesting about this store, I think they try to differentiate a little bit, is they had a lot of co-op products, you know, farm cooperatives, where they would work together with the farmer, and it's a smaller scale, and they keep the price lower, have specialized products, a lot of organic. And here we have some pictures of almond milk. Anastasia, I think you bought some of that almond milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how'd you like it?
I've always been a big fan of almond milk. It's just they discontinue at the Walmart near my house. And when I saw it, the prices are almost half the price of what they sell in Walmart.
Well, there you go. So
which is, I was
lower,
really
right?
Surprised.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a store like this kind of differentiates by trying to have things that Walmart wouldn't have, like Jane said earlier. But then also they can link up, I think, with the cooperatives and get really good prices. Remember, we saw some jelly there, and that jelly was also from a cooperative. It looked more organic or fresher, better than what you would get at the Walmart. So you can compete. Now, of course, Drug Emporium is not doing so well overall, but some of the independent stores are still around and trying to differentiate. So I think, Jane, you had mentioned before these Walmart supercenters have wiped out a lot of local business, but it seems like some businesses can try to find a way to compete.
Yeah, they have to be very cost competitive, and then they need to provide the very special items, and then they needed to know who their customers are and then what their customers want, so they can survive and then try to find a niche market in the system. But still, it's very hard to do. Walgreens are doing really great. They are spending a lot, and then their items are more, I think, more like what we have at Walmart, but a lot of promotion for sure. And then I think it's just different services. They have this 24-hour pharmacies, and that's very convenient.
Yeah, so you get these specialized services that can help people. Of course, Walmart has pharmacies now, too. They started that in the early 90s. But, Anastasia, are Walmart pharmacies 24? If the store is 24 hours, is the pharmacy 24 hours?
No.
So that has limited hours.
Even Walgreens, though, only certain pharmacies are open 24 hours.
Okay, selected stores.
Yes.
So I think...
But, for one thing, though, for pharmacies and... Not just pharmacy, but photos, anything like that. Walgreens has a higher reputation of service and time-wise, so a lot of people choose to go to Walgreens even though the prices might be higher.
Yeah, I think that the way these companies compete is really interesting, like a CVS, for example, or a Walgreens. Inside the store, they just have so much that's not even health-related, you know, including candy bars. And I think it's similar to what Watson's does in Taiwan. In Hong Kong, Jane, where they will have really special prices, and that draws you into the store at least. So you know there's some things you get there really cheap. For example, whenever I buy batteries, I always buy them at Watson's because they have better prices than even the hypermarkets have. And I get into the store, and then I remember something else I need to get, and I get it. So I think this is a strategy that we see in the U.S. and even across Asia.
Yeah, that's for sure. Sometimes you like to buy certain items at certain stores. That's just because you like it that way, the way they store it, the way they shelf it, and then the way they provide the return policies. Sometimes you go Walmart just for this kind of a more choices, more general items, and then for this easier return policies. Sometimes you just like to shop at this tiny the street malls, and then just because you like the way the atmosphere there.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we'll wrap it up on that. You know, a lot of variety. Every time I go back to the U.S., I see a lot of changes, and sometimes I think, you know, is this applicable back in Taiwan or in China? How can that work? Of course, some of these retailers are successful in China now, or at least giving it a shot. But I think a lot of difference, and some of the biggest difference is that kind of fundamental emphasis. For example, you know, so much stuff on this Americana, this home, you know, Walmart's door greeters and all these kinds of things. You have to really change this stuff for Asia. It doesn't work. It would be really difficult to open a whole lot of Walmart supercenters because one of those, Jane, I think one of those is 10 times bigger than even the biggest Carrefour we have in Taiwan.
Yeah, the size-wise, it's huge.
Yeah, it'd be really hard to get the property to put it on.
It would be very expensive for this population.
Yeah, very expensive. And then I often wonder, you know, Jane, if you had a Walmart supercenter in Taiwan, do you think its fresh section could do better than, you know, people like our existing, like Tesco, did not do well on it. Carrefour's Fresh Center doesn't really do well. Do you think a Walmart Supercenter could do well in Taiwan?
Yeah, I believe so. There is, I think there's an opportunity for the Supercenter to open up in Taiwan that they just need to find a suburban place and not that huge, but big enough for them to store enough items, varieties, and then for these fresh food items, if they can find the reliable supplies from these local farmers, I think they can really do well in Taiwan for sure.
Interesting. Well, you know, I noticed in the Walmart I was shopping in, they even had some signs saying that they get local supplies, and this used to be a criticism of Walmart, that everything was being shipped in from so far away, even international. But you like the Fresh Center in the Walmarts you visited.
Yeah, I like it because the aisles are wider, and then it's easier to shop. And if you need a certain item for the household, that's just convenient to go to this fresh food section toward the end of the shopping, and then you can just grab the items easily and then check it out right away.
Combine it together there, yeah, yeah. So, Anastasia, what do you think about the fresh food? Because I know when we're there, you're always buying lots of fruit and stuff. Compared to shopping for fresh food in, like, Taiwan's markets, how do you compare?
Taiwan definitely have better selection for fresh fruits and competitive prices. Walmart is just convenient because there's Walmarts close to you everywhere. But if I had to choose, even in the States, though, I think most people would go to a better supermarket like United or Market Street just because they have better fresh fruit, sometimes better prices, but it's just a location and the conveniency.
Yeah, so that ease to get in, plus you can combine it with getting, you know, a knife sharpener at the same
yes.
time.
mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys. And if you're heading off to the U.S., take your camera, take some pictures, and we'll talk about it some more in the future. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
See you later, Anastasia.
Bye.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.